24, PLT Mobile, monitoring. PLT Mobile, monitoring.
4 PLT, and 4 ZLK Mobile. Good afternoon, my name is Shane.
Apparently nobody wants to talk to you, Shane. Good afternoon, N0TR.
N0TR, N4ZLK. That's all right. He might have his volume down, or I might have waited too long. I hope you and Bernice are okay this afternoon.
You know, my only concern is our old buddy came before CBA. He was feeling poorly a few days ago, and he didn't sound like Dave. And I'd warned him over and over and over about playing tennis out in that heat, but you know how much he listened to Dr. Tom.
We hear him on the way to work. He's on his way to tennis. I didn't hear him today. I didn't work yesterday, so I didn't hear. I hope he's all right.
Didn't sound good at all. And I just love talking to Dave. Talk to him almost daily, so I called him. He didn't answer his phone either. So I left him a message, Shane.
Maybe he'll show up at sometime today or something, or we can find some news out about him. I hope he's all right. I had to take Beth to the ER. Well, she went to the doctor Wednesday morning. I'd come home from work. She drove herself to the doctor, and they sent her to the ER, and my daughter fortunately was able to come over and take her to the ER. She thought she had some type of stomach bug and turned out to be a diverticulitis, which she knew she was susceptible to, but had never had that issue before, and they put her on morphine right away, so she'd been fighting it for a couple days and was just getting more and more in pain. They put her on morphine, so that'll tell you right there. They didn't hesitate about that.
You gotta be up there in the tent area. Well, I got that too, but it's never affected me. But I ate some watermelon this afternoon, and Bernice cuts it up, and she knocks all them black seeds out of it, but there's a lot of them little white seeds there. And you're not supposed to eat anything with small seeds in it, really. I've never had an issue with it yet, but every time they do a colonoscopy, they write that up and say I have it. But, Dave said he was on about 3 days ago, went to Bernice, and he said he'd been taking some medicine, and he was headed for the doctor because it wasn't working, and he just didn't sound good. And we all love Dave. He's a great guy. So I wish him well. And I just got a feeling he might be in the hospital. Anyways, well, on a brighter subject, we've been getting a little bit of rain here. Nothing like downtown, 2600s. Let's see. You working tonight, Shane?
Man, I drove through a pretty good storm, or pretty good downpour between my place and Greenville. I'm over here in Malden right now. I can see blue sky to the east, but it's behind. I think there's more coming through. Got a little bit at the house, not like what Easley Pickens area I got, I believe.
I was noticing that. I always think about KI4DOS when they say Easley. But it, you really look like they got a bunch of rain down there. They're worried about a flood watch.
Looks like most of it now is the heavier part is down around Anderson or below Anderson. It's still got some rain, but it's really lightened up. So maybe it'll ease up through the night. I usually wear a tennis shoe type shoe, but I have a pair of boots that I keep with me, because once I get those shoes wet, it's miserable all night long. Something about having your feet wet.
That's one thing in the military they stressed, especially if you're overseas. They didn't want you to, the Army guys and the Marines and that, even us, but it was not a good thing. Well, I'm looking at the radar now, the Doppler, WIFF4s. Looks like down around Simpsonville they got it, and Clemson has got some, but the worst of it, like crossing Highway 25 and going towards Lawrence right now, so you're real accurate. Brevard's got some up there by Patrick. And I hope that it's dark green. There's some of them got a little bit of hail in them, but I think those little blue symbols come up awfully easily on there that says hail. But it's in Greenville, and it's no orange or yellows. It's just dark green. But it does look like it might be headed up towards our way. We can sure use it. It's drastically dry here. And I pray that we get it, that's for sure. I just ran out and took the car around, put it downstairs in the garage. It was raining on it then. I was trying to wait for a lull, but it's just been a nice steady rain so far, and up to 2,700s.
Okay. Well, we need the rain. We had a pretty good shower, a couple different showers that went through last night, yesterday evening, and thunderstorms, things like that, up at my place. I like the rain. I like it when it rains. I just would prefer not to have to work in it, unless it's just a nice, light, steady rain. I don't want to have to get out when it's blowing up a storm.
Good rain suit helps. We used to ride in on our motorcycles. I had a good rain suit. But it's so dang hot, it about kills you if you have to put it on. So you're danged if you do and you're danged if you don't. But, on another subject, I worked two or three last night. Nothing incredible. But there was a guy in Saudi Arabia. And I was looking at his QRZ page, and he was out there in his automobile working mobile on sideband and had a plenty good signal here. And I worked him on single sideband voice, and then one other one in Cyprus on voice. He was pretty weak, and the atmospheric noise was really bad last night. That was on 20 meters. Then I worked one other one on 15 meters. Oh, it was an Argentine submarine. I think that was night four last. I was kind of surprised at that. I think it's a museum, though.
Well, I didn't get on the radio at all yesterday. I checked into the net last night, but that was it. We kind of laid around the house. She was having to take pain medicine she's trying to take it earlier, but every 4 hours trying to knock it down. She's definitely improved today, which is why I'm working. If I'd have needed to stay home, I would have, but they kind of needed me if I could be here. So, but I haven't been on the radio in a couple days, but that submarine, that would be kind of interesting to work.
Around Shane, that they'll have the day of the warships, and the Pampanetto is one I worked many times, and it's a World War II submarine. And I worked the Nautilus last month. I thought that was pretty cool. It was a nuclear submarine, of course. Everybody knows the Nautilus. But it was really kind of fun. I worked several of the ships, and I don't know how many submarines, but not very many. Mostly it was battleships and such as that. It's always fun to work them.
A couple battleships through the years, but don't they have a certain day a year they do it, or do they kind of do it on a regular basis? I know a couple months ago, one of the stations that I hear in Georgia, they actually came up to the Yorktown in Charleston. I have not worked the Yorktown yet. I have been there, but I have not worked it.
Identical ship to the one I was assigned to for a year and a half that I flew off of out of San Diego, North Island. We ported at Long Beach, and whenever we were ported, we were right next to the Queen Mary. I thought that was pretty cool. We had a lot of oil wells around there, I'll tell you for sure. But, yeah, if you go down to the air crew's quarters there on the Yorktown, you'll see them nice racks. I should say bunks. We called them racks. And they were canvas ones hanging from chains on top of each other. Oh, those were a joy.
I've seen them several times. They looked, looked like a five-star hotel there, Tom. And I've, you know, crawling into some of those weapons out on the deck that, you know, had little seats, metal seats in them. I just was trying to imagine being out in the South Pacific or something and 90-degree weather, sitting on those metal seats and trying to cram yourself into those spaces, because I'm 6'2", and I'm a fairly skinny guy. I'm not a heavy set guy, but it was a little tight in there. I can't imagine, and then having those guns go off at the same time, that would have been something else.
Yeah, you ought to heard them whenever they on the USS Bennington, which is just like the Yorktown. I'm pretty sure the Yorktown probably got the same ones we had. We had 5-inch guns, and one of them was on the fantail. And if I wasn't flying, I was back in the electric shop. But my battle station was the ready room, of course. But I'd go to the electric shop, and it was right on the fantail where the planes were landing, right on top of our shop. But as you walked out, you walked into a gun tub in that 5-inch gun. I forget how much is in each one of those shells, but I'm thinking 28 pounds of dead burn it. I know it like the tip of my nose right here. Anyways, the gunpowder in them, it's not black powder, and it's nitrocellulose. And there's like 28 pounds of it. And there's a shortage of it now. There's not too many places making it. But a rifle takes, 30-ounce six will take about 58 to 60 grains of 4350. And there's 7,000 grains in a pound, Shane. So think what that much out of a 5-inch shell would sound like.
Imagine they weren't up to par on their hearing protection during those times either, were they?
I couldn't tell you. But, yeah, if it was like every place else. I worked in a machine shop for years, and the guys in the thermal section, we did molds for Goodyear for large earth-moving equipment, sometimes regular tires, but then we ship them up to Topeka to Goodyear. And, they just raised cane when the company mandated using hearing protection. If it was over 80 decibels in 8 hours, and those guys were running those little holes that looked like the little tits that used to stick out of your tires, and that was the vent holes. And they'd sit there, and they would run 16th inch real long. I think I still got a couple of them. 16th inch drill bits, and those air grinders were just screaming, you know, RPMs. But they were some of the ones that resisted wearing hearing protection, you know, and it's free. But they put the earplugs in sideways instead of putting them in right, and they get their butt chewed for that. But all those guys know, if you go back and you talk to any of them, the first thing they'll say is, huh?
I've met a lot of them, and I understand. I'm a little resistant to change too, but some of it, we don't have to wear hearing protection, but some of the things, I think this is what we're doing, especially when it's not, you put guys out on the road in the dark and it doesn't apply to them. Why does it apply in the middle of the day to us on the yard, or, you know, if you're on the well-lit yard, just different things. And then you think, well, when the next accident happens, you know, what are they going to do now? Because that's just, things happen. Anyway, that's a different story. It's not hearing protection. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that.
And there's places where OSHA done some real good, and there's places where they were a pain in the butt. and that's true, and they go overboard. But I don't know, I think it was guys up in the office making the rules, and those with the gold make the rules, you know. And but they come out there with decibel meters, and if it was over 80 decibels, and oh my, and that machine shop chain, if they get a tool, a dull tool on one of those tire molds that were, oh, the biggest one was 24 foot in diameter, and a half of it weighed 50,000 pounds. And if they get a dull tool going on that, you just hold your fingers in your ears and get away from it. It was horrible. And it took several revolutions of the great big boring mill to get stopped to change that tool. Some of them machinists, they were lackadaisical about changing that. On another subject, there was a guy killed on an HVAC unit on a roof this week. This is N0TR. And it said he was working, and I've worked on ones on, I was a head electrician, and the HVAC guy at printing place up in Joplin, Missouri. And you had to walk into the condenser, Shane, like, you know, beside your house. And they'd have like six fans over you, and they look like six-cylinder engines. They call them semi-hermetics. And anyway, this guy was on the roof someplace, some business around here, and he got electrocuted. And the other guy, he had sent him back to get something. And when he come back up, he found this guy passed away. And he cut into a wire on a fan that was hot. I got to tell you, that should have been locked out and tagged out in this day and age. We didn't have those rules when I worked on them. And I was on the roof a lot of times by myself, working on 480 volts three-phase. I've even crawled across an icy roof and worked on 13 million BTU stress oven in the ice. And climb up a 20-foot ladder without any guards on it, which now a guard is required. And you couldn't walk, you'd fall down and be covered with ice or snow. And if you got electrocuted, it'd be a long time for anybody to find you. So I bet that company's going to get fined real bad.
That LK, yeah, I heard something happen. I think it was down Anderson Way, maybe. I saw the headline, Anderson worker killed. My first thought was, I hope that wasn't Jody, KM4MUF or KF4MUF. I hear him in the morning. I know he works for Anderson County. But I didn't get the details, but I hate to hear that. We have all that lockout, tagout stuff on our conveyor belt systems, even just retrieve packages, depending on where it goes or if walking the belt. You know, they've got to be locked out. You're supposed to know. We've been doing that for, well, not as long as I've been there, but I remember when they started implementing it. And that's just to you know, not even working on the systems. That's just to retrieve packages or break jams that happen, you know, that kind of thing. But, Tom, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm pulling in down here in Fountain Inn at Granger, so I will let you go for a little while. Enjoyed it this afternoon, and maybe we'll hear you later on. I hope you and Bernice have a good evening if I don't talk to you, and enjoy whatever treat she's got for you there. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Talking to you. Yeah, when I worked at the wheel plant, there was four of us in a cage, and there was a robot, and we were working on it, and some guy come down from the office. All four of those other people, and most of them were maintenance, but there was one or two administrative people in there. And this last guy walked in that robot cage, and even though there was four locks on that robot, he didn't put his on. And he was a big wig up in the front office there at Superior Wheels. And they fired him and walked him out the door immediately. They mean business. And I guess it's for our benefit, you know, there's no doubt. Take care, Shane. Have a safe night. And 4ZLK and 0TR 73.
or is that okay?